Thank you, Jesus. Luke 16:10, it says, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. He that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much." And as I was there, the Lord began to speak to me. He said, "I pay particular attention to the little things. The tiny details is what I pay lots of attention to. In observing our life, what He asks us to do, maybe we don't think, you know what I'm saying? Maybe it might be humble. Maybe it might be against the grain. But the thing is, let me read that again. He that is faithful in that which is least or little will be faithful in much. If you can trust a person to do the little things, it's been my experience, just people I know and different things, that if they didn't see the numbers and they didn't see this by a particular time, they're out of here. The Lord said to me, this tonight is significant. It's another step in the right direction to get you on your journey to where you're going to go. And every one of these small steps leads to bigger things. But He's got to know that He can trust you. So if He can trust you in little things, that's why a lot of people never make it to the end, is because somewhere along the line they gave up the steps the Lord would have them take, because maybe it wasn't as grand as they thought it should be. Whatever reason, they left, or they didn't. They decided they weren't going it forward. God must not be in this because it doesn't fit the norm. I've been discounted a lot in my life and over my ministry. But you know what? At the end of the day, I don't care. As long as I hear, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant," that's what I want to hear. I'm not in it for the fame or for the glory. Believe me, I'm not. I want to do what the Lord wants me to do, however humble it may seem or however grand it may seem. So I just wanted you to know that tonight, that whatever the Lord asks you to do, it's a grand thing. I remember hearing Brother Copeland say one time, if all you ever do, or all the Lord ever tells you to do, is take out the trash, it'll be the grandest thing you've ever done. Because there's always a reward at the end of whatever little thing He tells you to do, instead of getting all gripey about something. I don't want to do that. Think about David and Saul. You know, we talked about that a few weeks ago. Think about Saul did a lot of good things, but there were some little things that he didn't that disqualified him. So let's just think about that as the days and weeks ahead when the Lord asks us to take steps. Remember that. Remember that He's testing my faithfulness. And if He can be faithful when things are small, you'll be faithful when things are big. And that's basically what He's saying. Okay. Oh, a few months ago, back in March, the Lord spoke to me about teaching on Wednesday night, and I thought, okay, and then I wasn't sure. Was that you, Lord? Anyway, the Lord began to give me some teachings in the area, and I didn't know when to share them. So I just kept putting them aside. Well, He told me, this is what it's for, Wednesday night. So, until further notice, we're going to be looking at a series called A No-Nonsense Look at the Book of Revelation. A No-Nonsense Look at the Book of Revelation. I want to start in Acts chapter 1. I have a little subtitle here. The subtitle is There a Secret Rapture? Question mark. Acts 1. concern of mine in the body of Christ today, and what really puts me off more than anything, is ministries and ministers, even prophets, that don't discern our times. It really bothers me. And I said, Lord, if you could tell me, can't you tell them? I mean, I don't understand why they don't. They're not rightly discerning your time. Someone told me this week, yeah, there's this prophet. I know the prophet. I know the prophet. And I've heard other ministers say he's one of the most accurate prophets. Sid Roth said that about him, that he had ever heard. But he was talking about, yeah, we're going to have a good next 10 years. I'm thinking, 10 years? How about 1,000? How about 1,000? Not saying he's wrong, because I agree, next 10 years is going to be great, but I'm looking beyond a little more than 10 years, you know? So it's of great concern to me that in the body of Christ that we rightly discern the word of truth and we rightly discern our times. That's the reason the people missed it in Jesus' day, was because he said you can tell by the sky what's going to happen, how the weather's going to be, but you have not rightly discerned the times that you're in. And because of it, he wept over Jerusalem because they totally missed the time of his coming the first time. And I said, Lord, I do not want to miss your coming the second time. And I said, if it turns out that I'm wrong, I'll apologize, but I'm not going to be accused of saying that I didn't believe that we're at that time. I'd rather be cautious and think that we're at that door than to discount it. Okay, Acts 1:9. When he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Okay. He will come the same way he left. Isn't that what it said? In the same manner. Now, I've heard all kinds of people trying to pick this apart. Well, the clouds don't mean clouds. And I don't know. All right, now we're going to read a few scriptures here to kind of give us some more foundation with this. Revelation 1:7. John starts off with this, or it starts off talking about this is the revelation of Jesus Christ that God gave to John to show him shortly what would come to pass. And this is in verse 7. It says, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I looked up well. Where was that? It was further in this teaching. I'm going to look at it. It means to beat your breast. Let me find it here. Did I not write it down? Oh, well, we'll come across it. But it was like you were going, oh! That's what it meant. Well. Well, because, yeah, wasn't a good thing. Well, because of him. All right, it says he's coming with clouds, and every eye will see him. So, no secret. No secret coming? Okay, now let's go to Matthew 24. Oh, I tell you talk about a barbecue needed in the church today. This sacred cow needs to be butchered and barbecued. It is, I think, one of the most stinking doctrines of men the church has ever embraced. Matthew 24, 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. The stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Imagine that. He shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. We're going to all be gathering right where he comes. Just like they said in the book of Acts, just like it says in Revelation 1 and now in Matthew 24. After the tribulation. Have we believed wrong? Obviously. Have we been taught wrong? Obviously. This is where traditions of men nullify the Word of God. Now, I have a word here. I brought this word on 8:16:20, and I want to read it to you. This is to the church. To those who are Christians, my followers, this is key. My followers, follow me. Not doctrines of men. Not winds of doctrine that blow through the church. It seems to be the way of the church of yesterday and today. They're always looking for a bailout. They want to escape instead of stand and fight and occupy the earth. I never taught that. It's not in my word. I taught the ways of the kingdom. I taught my disciples to pray God's will be done in earth as it is in heaven. It has been so since the beginning. Why do you suppose he told us to pray that way? Because he wanted heaven on earth. Eventually, at the end, it's going to be. His holy city is going to come down out of heaven. And he says he's going to dwell with men. Why does the church not want to be responsible? Why does the church refuse to take care of what I gave them? They're quick to blame. Well, that's Trump's fault. Oh, why don't he do something about that Senate and that Congress? It's all his fault. They're quick to blame, but never take responsibility. They don't fix the earth. They want to escape it. They've messed it up. They've let it get in that rotten mess that it's in, and then they want to just leave it. These people with his Antifa thugs and all this stuff going on out there, they want to all move out of the cities. What is the president wanting them to do? Stand up. Get your gun if necessary. Blow them right out the door. I heard a sheriff say this. He said, I'm telling everybody in this county here that, he said, they all love guns here. And he said, I'm telling mine. He said, they're going to be at home tonight when you show up. And he said, they're going to be packing. They're going to have guns all over the place. And they have the permission from me. If you come busting through their door, they're going to blow you right back out their house. See, that's the way the devil is and his bunch. They don't want to fix the earth. They want to escape it. Yes, the rapture deception has caused much harm. When things get rough, they just want to leave. I gave them this place to subdue it. I wanted them to make it here like it is in heaven. The escape mentality that they have has caused the earth to become like hell. Stop looking to the heavens for a rescue. You rescue the earth. I've sent you on a rescue mission. We're Christ ambassadors, by the way. The church is to dominate all seven hills of culture. Don't like what you see or hear? Change it. If you want, I want you here flourishing and thriving. In other words, occupying. Occupying. For your information, the rapture theory was not mentioned in any Christian writings until after 1830. It began when Miss Margaret MacDonald had a dream while on her sickbed. What she saw was two stages of Jesus coming, one a secret rapture for the believers and another coming where everyone saw him. At that time, it went against what was shown in scriptures. Up until that time, the church never embraced a rapture theory of any kind. What happened? Some little girl, out of her head, on her sickbed, delirious, has a dream. Okay, let's go back to Matthew 24. Well, we're still in 24. I didn't ever turn. Let's start with verse 21 there. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor shall ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even to the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. You know what? When you see lightning, everybody sees it. I mean, it lights up the sky. It ain't no secret. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Okay. Now, we're going to continue to read here. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, we read this while ago, shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. He shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. I wish I had my flat earth deal, because it has the angels at the four corners of the earth. So we know we're on the earth here. Now learn a parable of the fig tree when his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves. You know the summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. After the 1,000 years and after the great white throne judgment, there will be a new heaven and a new earth. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also is the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, one shall be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give him them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and to drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So it sounds like to me, when the Lord comes, he is coming for an accounting. What have you done with the earth? What have you done with what I ask of you? We're going to see that further. We're going to read chapter 25. You have been awakened for a reason, for this time and this season. He said, I'll come in a time when you won't think I'll be coming. Others will be saying, well, we ain't seen this, and we hadn't seen that, and this hadn't been done, and that hadn't been done. You discern this by the Spirit. We were supernaturally awakened in 2015, and I've heard many other people ones usually that I listen to, they're Christians, most all of them are. They just woke up one day and they began to get their eyes open. They began to see what our the state of our world and what was going on. Nobody liked it. Nobody wants to see these things. Nobody. Nobody wants to hear about pedophilia. Nobody wants to hear about what they've done to the little kids. Nobody wants to hear what's been going on under our feet for hundreds and hundreds of years. Nobody. Thousands of years. Nobody wants to hear that. But God woke us up. All right. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins. I'm telling you, the kingdom's here. And I'm not just talking the kingdom inside of us. The kingdom is here. We're already walking in it. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish. 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. In other words, they didn't prepare. They just blew it off. No. You know, the signs aren't there, so no, we won't believe unless we see the signs. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. At midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there not be enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." Isn't that the way it always is? There's always a bunch that they read and pray and they're diligent and they obey. And there's the other bunch that just, blow the other bunch off. And then when things start happening, oh, well, you need to help me out. We're in the time. There's no more helping out. Either you're going to accept it or you're not. Like the Lord said, no more arguing. No arguing, people. You either believe it or you don't. And if you say you don't believe the words that I say, that's fine. But you answer to the Lord for that, not me. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came and they were ready. Those that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know not now, or you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." All right, we're going to keep going here. "For the kingdom of heaven is as if a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained 2 other. See, one get a little bit, one gets 1, that's a little bit, one gets 2, the other got 5. He that received 1 went and digged it in the earth, and hid his Lord's money. He said, "Well, the Lord didn't give me much, this ain't nothing. That ain't nothing. Maybe what I started out with is exactly what this is saying. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them." He's coming for a reckoning. "What have you done?" "Well, I thought I gave you." "And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, 'Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more.' His Lord said unto him, 'Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord.'" Faithful in little, he'll be faithful in much. What we're doing now, he's going to be able to give us more responsibility. "He also that had received 2 talents came and said, 'Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I've gained 2 other talents beside them.' His Lord said unto him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee rule over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord.' Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine.'" In fact, the truth is, he did nothing. Here's what the Lord said about it. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it to him which hath 10 talents. For every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Wow. So anything we do for the Lord, any little step of obedience, anything he asks of us is not insignificant. Nothing. It means a lot to him. When you take a little step, he knows, oh, good and faithful servant, now I can trust you with bigger things. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them from one another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. He shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was anhungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, what saw we thee a hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? The king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, insomuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. So the littlest, tiniest little thing that he asks you to do for somebody that even is some insignificant little person, he considers that you've done it unto him. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick and in prison, you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him and say, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, insomuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. It's time for an accounting. When he comes, he's going to be taking care of business. He's going to get the books out, and he's going to look at the ledger. Because everything's written down. Okay, Revelation 20. Revelation 20, starting verse 1, it says, And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand, and he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. The first one he's going to reckon with, which in 19 he's taking care of the deep state. But he's the head honcho, he's dealing with him right now. And bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should see the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Yet the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he. I hope I'm in that bunch. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such a second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan will be loosed out of prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about in the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Okay, after 1,000 years of peace, there'll be the final judgment on Satan. This is Revelation 19. We see here that him and his bunch are going to be taken care of. All right, we're going to start with verse 1 here. After these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God, for true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped God, that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of many mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice, and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. To her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. He said unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true saints of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant of thy brethren that had the testimony of Jesus, worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. I saw heaven open, and behold a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Let me see how far. I guess I'm going to read the whole thing. And the armies which are in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. He treadeth the winepress with the fierceness of wrath of Almighty God, and hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, Come and gather yourself together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both great, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. The beast was taken with him, the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Right here, I just wrote down my thoughts. I was taught that the marriage supper of the Lamb was when the rapture occurred. We would all go to heaven and have 7 years of feasting while everyone left behind went through hell on earth. Well, we can plainly see here that it is the battle of Armageddon that he's talking about, not us in heaven eating for 7 years while everybody goes through hell down here. Judgment begins. Blood in the streets. Jesus, the righteous judge, has his garment soaked in blood. It's not his blood. He calls for the predator birds to come and eat the bird and flesh of the wicked. It's not very pleasant, but it's the truth. That's the marriage supper of the Lamb. Think about it. I think we're there. We're getting there. Right here. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. We are in a battle, the Lord's heavenly army as well as his church, the earthly spiritual army caught against the beast. We're the earthly spiritual army. He's going to come on horseback with, I believe, angelic armies. I do not see here any secret coming. The only ones that will be surprised will be the ones that are not ready. He comes as a thief to them. We read Matthew 25. They are taken out and the righteous are left. Which I read y'all some scriptures. I don't know if it's Sunday or the previous Sunday. I know I taught it probably on television about there's all kinds of scriptures all through the Old and New Testament that talk about the wicked being removed and the righteous inheriting the earth. I want to read to you Isaiah chapter 2. It's about the millennial reign. It's an awesome passage of scripture. Verse 1, the word that Isaiah the son of Amoz saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. We're Judah, from the line of the tribe of Judah. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. From what I read, it sounds like there's going to be some kind of heavenly kingdom that is in the mountains on the earth. I know the New Jerusalem is going to be coming down out of heaven. And many people shall go and say, come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways. We will walk in his paths, for out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come ye and let us walk in the light of the Lord. Therefore thou hast forsaken thy people, the house of Jacob, because they be replenished from the east and are soothsayers like the Philistines, and they please themselves in the children of strangers. Now just get the word I just said. They please themselves in the children of strangers. They kidnap these babies. They please themselves. Their land also is full of silver and gold. Neither is there any end of their treasures. Their land is full of horses. Neither is there any end of their chariots. Their land also is full of idols. They worship the work of their own hands, that which their own fingers have made. And the mean man boweth down, and the great man humbleth himself. Therefore forgive them not. Enter into the rock and hide thee in the dust for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall come upon every one that is proud and lofty, and upon every one that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. Upon all the cedars of Lebanon that are high and lifted up, and upon all the oaks of Bashan, and upon all the high mountains, and upon all the hills that are lifted up, and upon every high tower, and upon every fenced wall, upon all the ships of Tarshish, and upon all pleasant pictures, and the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be made low. The Lord alone shall be exalted in that day, and the idol shall be utterly abolished. They shall go into the holes of the rocks. Here they are, these elites, and their bunkers are running for their bunkers. I even heard something about that today. They're all hiding out in a certain place. Boy, they're laying low, man. They know what's coming. They know what's coming. It's the church that I'm concerned about that's going, oh, it's in heaven. Makes me want to scream. And in the caves of the earth, for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty when he arises to shake terribly the earth. And in that day a man shall cast his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they made each one for himself to worship, to the moles and to the bats, to go into the clefts of the rocks and into the tops of the ragged rocks, for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty. When he arises to shake terribly the earth, see she from man whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is he to be accounted of? I told you this is a day of accounting. It's coming. Okay, we see the elite hiding. Judgment coming. 1,000-year reign of peace. It's time for the church to stop being foolish. See, five of the virgins were foolish. Five were wise. They need to wake up and trim their lamps. Soon it'll be too late. When the door's shut, does it mean they won't go to heaven? No, I don't believe that. I believe this is kind of what that prophet Tony, what's his name? I forget his last name. Wasn't Blake, was it? Anyway, he was talking about the time of the old guard passing away. Those that won't embrace the new, they'll have to die to keep their reward. They'll have to go the way of the earth to keep their reward. Yeah, that's what I think. There are no bailouts, and on that day there will be no excuses. All right, Revelation 1. Up, verse 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. They also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail. Here's that. Beat the breast. Wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. So they're going to sing. Oh, here it is. Wail means to beat the breast in grief. Oh, what are we going to do? You know, type of deal. I believe this is why the Lord has been telling us to only go to those who will hear. Don't waste your time on those who will not. It's like it's getting more defined to where, Lord, I don't have anybody to talk to. Danny and Jackie, that's it. That's the truth. Everywhere you go, you got to watch what you say, lest you might say something. They go, They don't have a clue. I've even heard say, I don't want to know anything. Okay, let's go to Revelation 22. Verse 7. Behold, I'm come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them, and when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. He saith unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, not in heaven. I'm going to my heavenly reward. Well, I guess if you go early, it's up there. But it says he's bringing his reward with him to give to every man according as his work shall be. When the books are open, he's going to know. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whoever loveth and maketh a lie. Fake news is there. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come, and let him that heareth say, Come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him drink or take the water of life freely. Now that caught my attention, the tree of life. It just, sometimes I'll read something, it just hangs in me. I got to find out, where is that? Where is that tree of life? Is it in heaven? Huh? Is it in Eden? We're going to look. Right back in the garden where man was placed and told to occupy. The tree of life. Jesus' death, burial, resurrection brought us back to Eden. I remember Cyril Brain having a post calling Back to Eden. Okay, Revelation 2:7. You're gonna, maybe by the time we get through with this, people can ask you questions and you can give them straight up answers. All right, here. This is Revelation 2:7. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. What's the paradise of God? I had to go look it up. All right, we're going to look at it. I found out where it was. All right, Revelation 3:22. You know what? That's not Revelation. That's Genesis. I wrote that down wrong. Genesis 3. Good catch, Lord. Good catch. This is after the fall. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life, and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. This is on earth. Earth. Okay. All right, back to Revelation chapter 9. I want you to see something. Those angels, 9:13. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four corners of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. That's where that garden is, the mouth of those four rivers, right there in the garden. The four angels were loose, which were prepared. See, there's four of them. They had swords, flaming swords, four directions. And the four angels were loose, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year for to slay the third part of men. Probably keeping away from the tree of life. You think? And the number of the army, the horsemen, were 200,000. I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat upon them, having breastplates of fire and of jacinth and brimstone, and the heads of their horses were as the heads of lions. Out of the mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. By these three was the third part of men killed by fire, and by the smoke, and by the brimstone, which issued out of their mouths, and their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails were like unto serpents, and had heads. And with them they do hurt. The rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk, neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorcerers, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. These are the bad people being taken out. Okay. Okay, so he drove them in, and he placed the angels east of the Garden of Eden with flaming swords. God is judging the church first, just like he did when he talked with John. He began with the churches. He rebukes them thoroughly. Revelation 2 and 3, each church gets dealt with where most of them, well, I know where Satan's seat is in your fellowship. 1 Peter 4:17 talks about judgment begins at the house of God first. A rapture? Really? Foolish? Yeah, you bet. Foolish. It's a distraction. Mm-hmm. Sounds like deep state, doesn't it? Yeah. Well, let's get them looking over here so they don't see what's going on over here. Isn't that the way they do? And the way they've always done? The church better hope not, for when he comes, it won't be pretty. Those foolish churches will have their candlestick removed, it says. How long have I gone? I could read the churches right quick. I don't want to go over my hour.
50 minutes.
Okay. All right, we'll make it real fast because I don't want to go over the hour. I want to make sure All right, chapter 2. All right, the first church is the church of Ephesus. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, he walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. The churches are candlesticks, and there's angels over each church. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. Hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent. Do the first works, or else I will come unto thee and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But thou hast, which thou hatest, the deeds of the Nicolaitans. They were into Baal and Moloch worship. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit's saying to the churches. And the ones that overcome, they will get to eat of the tree of life in the midst of the paradise of God. Okay. All right, second church. Smyrna. To the angel of the church of Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but a synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. But be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath ear, let him hear. Okay. Pergamos. The church of Pergamos write, these things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas, my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against you, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate, seem to be rampant in that day and in this day. Repent, or else I will come and thee quickly and will fight against thee with the sword of my mouth. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Okay. And unto the angel of the church of Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works and charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou hast sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication, to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Whether it was a literal woman or the spirit of Jezebel, same difference. They did the same thing. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication. She repented not. Behold, I will cast her into bed with them that commit adultery with her, into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts. I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But I say unto you, and unto the rest of Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, but I will put you none other burden, but that which ye have already hold fast till I come. Okay. Sardis. Unto the angel of the church of Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Okay, to the angel of the church in Philadelphia. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them and that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. And the angel of the church at Laodiceans, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, sounds like the USA church, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable, poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame and thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. So, he's coming, and he is going to judge the church first, just like with John. All right. The church better hope not, for he's coming, and it won't be pretty. The foolish churches will have their candlestick removed. Time for the five to arrive, and it's time for the five to be locked out. Talk about the five wise and the five foolish. Waiting for a bailout because it has gotten so bad down here. They don't want to clean up after themselves. They want to go somewhere else. Oh, it's just going to be going to hell in a handbasket. Well, he's coming for an accounting. Did I make it?